All right, Romans 1:8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you to help us, to meet with us. Lord, help us learn about prayer, how we can pray, and God, what prayer is. Lord, we really do need your help. This is something that's neglected in so many of our lives, Lord, and we pray you help teach us. And Lord, help us to make it a regular part of our life, a daily part of our life, that we really have a serious prayer time, a prayer closet, where we would have that time alone with you with no other distractions, where it's just us and you. And God, help to teach us, please, as we seek revival. I think the key to it all is prayer, God, and we need your help with that. We need to be willing to pay the price in prayer to have revival, God. And I just ask you to work in our hearts and help us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight we're looking at what is prayer. So how does one begin praying, or what am I even supposed to say? Sometimes some people, I talk to them, they say, I don't know how to pray. I don't. What do you say? And I understand that. What are you supposed to say? You know, many don't know. What should it look like? What's prayer supposed to be? Because we've been brought up with some form or some ritualism of prayer, and that's what we consider prayer to be. There's a lot of confusion about what prayer is. I just know growing up as a Roman Catholic and going to so many rosaries. I mean, I don't know how many I've been to. I can't tell you how many rosaries I've been to, but many times the person leading it would say, "Oh, well, we're gonna go to the Lord and pray now." And it's just vain repetition, and you have these rosary beads, and you go through them, and you use them to count as you go through it, and you're just saying the same thing over and over and over and over. And I remember I have these things memorized, and it's meaningless to me. It means nothing to me, absolutely nothing. And that's not what God intends prayer to be at all. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible do you find it just say this over and over and over and over and over. That's actually dangerous to do that, because it empties our minds and opens us up to something else. But that's a topic for another sermon. But what we do want to do is learn how to pray. How are we to pray? If we look at the Bible and some biblical examples, we will quickly come to the conclusion that prayer really boils down to having a sincere relationship with God. I mean, think about it like this. If you're married, or if you've been in a serious relationship, how much time did you spend getting to know that person? I mean, I can look back on my relationship with my wife. We spent a lot of time. We still do, as a matter of fact. Husbands, I'd encourage you, or future husbands, I'd encourage you, continue dating your wife after you get married. I mean, have that time together. It's important. I mean, my most favorite person in the world to be with is my wife. I love spending time with her and talking with her. But think of it like that. How much time did you spend to get to know that person? A lot. I mean, yeah. We wanted to spend all that time together with them. And we wanted to be close, and we wanted to know about them, and we wanted to hear from them. That's what prayer should be with God. Us wanting to build a relationship with Him. Us wanting to be close to Him. Us wanting to hear from Him. And He in turn wants to hear from us. Us hearing from Him is found right here in the Word of God. Him hearing from us is found in prayer. It's a two-way street, but so often it's like there's no traffic, because we don't read the Bible and we don't pray. But a prayer life, what is prayer? It really just comes down to a sincere relationship with God. Regular, daily walking with the Lord. We should treat prayer like approaching a dear friend and parent. The Bible says of Abraham that he was the friend of God. Well, we're the seed of Abraham. Guess what? We get that too. We could be the friend of God. But more than that, Jesus said, hey, when you pray, pray after this manner, our Father. He's our Father. He's our parent also. We learned about that Sunday night. That we're adopted into the family of God. So look at it as approaching a dear friend and a parent. The Apostle Paul was definitely a man that walked with God and knew God intimately well. I don't think any of us would deny that. So we're going to take a snapshot of how he prayed. What did he do? God knew we'd need the help, and God wants to teach us how to be close to Him. That's why he had Paul write these things down. That's why the Bible's here. It's for our admonition to teach us. So what are some of the characteristics of a healthy prayer life? First, we could see thanksgiving and praise. Look at verse 8. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Thanksgiving and praise. He says, I thank my God. He's thankful. So some of the characteristics of a healthy prayer life is that we'd be thankful and we'd praise. We need to give thanks for our brethren. It says there, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Are we thankful for the brethren? If we can't be thankful for our brethren, then we have a heart issue before God and we really need to deal with that. If we're not thankful for other brothers and sisters in Christ, there's an issue. There's a problem there that needs to be resolved. If you have bitterness in your heart towards another brother or sister, you need to fix that. Because it's not going to hurt them. It's only going to hurt you, and it's going to hinder your walk with God. Bitterness, anger, and envy can ruin a church and the work that God wants to do. Think, why do church splits happen? Most of the time, because of bitterness and envy. Backbiting, talking about people behind their back. Because there's no thankfulness for the brethren. But Paul said, hey, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. So our prayer should be full of thanks and praise. Proverbs 14:30 says this, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. So we have that enviness, it's rottenness in the bones. We should be thankful for our brethren. Acts 6:1, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. See, there's a murmuring, they're complaining about the Hebrews. And it says, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So there's this problem going on, and they're complaining about it. And guess what it's doing? It's hindering the work of God. The work of God's not going forward like it should. So what's the solution? Well, if you look in Acts chapter 6, what they end up doing is that's when they select their first deacons for that church, and they vote for them, Holy Ghost-filled men, men that met the qualifications there. And then what does it say afterwards? It says that the word of God increased, and the disciples were multiplied. Why? Because the murmuring, the envy, was taken out of the way. And now this church could be what God wanted it to be. But when that was there, all of that was being hindered. The work wasn't going forward like it should. The word of God increased, and the disciples were multiplied after the murmuring and envying was taken out of the way. So, are we thankful for our brethren? We should be. It goes on further, Paul gives thanks for the reach of their faith. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That was the testimony that they had. Their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. Other people heard of their faith because it was so strong. That's some incredible faith. So we need to give thanks for the reach of other people's faith. What other people are doing. Look at that as an example for us. Instead of being envious about it, well, how come they got that prayer answered and I haven't gotten mine? Instead, be thankful. Wow, look at the faith that they have. Look at the faith they have to do what they're doing, and let it encourage us. If God will do it for them, He'll do it for me. And start praying accordingly. Start seeking God. Instead of getting bitter, get better. Use it to challenge you to pray more, to seek God's face more, to walk with the Lord more. We should look for examples of others' faith so that we could be encouraged. And we should desire a faith that's far-reaching. A faith that reaches beyond just right here what we can impact. Speaking of this, coming up on our missions conference, we got our missions wall up now. Thankful for that. What a blessing that is. But we've got the plaque back there talking about our rope holders. And we'd love every family in our church to be a part of that. And if you want to know what that is, you can go read what it is back there. It describes what it is. But that's a faith that's going to reach out. And we could take part in our Faith Promise missions giving over the next year and being faithful to that. Why? What is that? That's a faith that reaches beyond right here. A faith that could be spoken of throughout the whole world. Why? Because as we're supporting the Jordans down in the Dominican Republic, guess what? That's our faith, because we're giving by faith here, is reaching beyond where we're at. It's reaching to the Dominican Republic. The other missionaries we support, the Hernandez family to the Amazon River Basin, our faith is reaching beyond right here in Albuquerque, but it's going to there. It's reaching in Round Rock, Texas with the Pope family, in L.A. with the Swieringa family, in China and Tibet there with Brother Iommi, in the Democratic Republic of Congo with Brother Felicilda. I mean, our faith is being spread out farther than right here, but are we all taking part in that? Is our faith spoken of throughout the world? Part of our prayers should be for an increase in faith. It says, Paul was thankful that their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. We should pray for an increase in faith. Are you asking God to increase your faith? Ask Him to. That means you're going to have to step out by faith then. It's not just, Lord, increase my faith and everything stays comfortable. It doesn't work like that. You say, Lord, increase my faith, you're going to have to step out by faith. You're going to have to do some things you've not done before. You may have to, you might start going soul winning and sharing the gospel with somebody. But that's a step of faith. You said, I'm afraid to, I know. Faith will say, go ahead though, I'm going to be, God's with you. God's with you. You can do it. See, an increase of faith, we need to pray for an increase of faith in all areas of our life. Secondly, we see a praying person will be a serving person. Look at verse 9. He goes on to say, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. We're looking at some characteristics of prayer. Paul was a praying man. He prayed with a thankful heart. He was thanking them for their faith. But he said also, whom I serve, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. A praying person will be a serving person. Many times, here's why I don't like this. Something just happened here. Huh? I'd rather have a piece of paper doesn't do that to you. All right. That printer broke. That's why I have this thing. A praying person will be a serving person. Many times people that don't serve God also aren't praying. And people say, well, I pray. I'm not talking about just throwing up a little prayer while you're busy doing this or busy doing that or busy driving. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about right here with prayer, I'm talking about I get alone, nobody else is around me, and I spend 30 minutes to an hour with God a day. Say, I couldn't do that, I don't have the time. Then you're too busy. You're way too busy. And you've got way too much going on. And you need to get something out of your life. I mean, I'm telling you, we could remove Facebook or something. We could remove some television show or something and spend some time with God. See, it's not just this as I'm driving to work or as I'm taking a shower, I'm saying some prayer or something like that, because you're busy and you're doing other things and you're not thinking and focusing on walking with God. I mean, how rude would that be if my wife came home and I just ignored her all the time and she's talking to me and I'm like, oh yeah, and doing something else all the time and never really talk to her. That wouldn't be much of a relationship builder, would it? I probably wouldn't be married if that's how I treated her. Would I? No, she didn't say that. But I wouldn't. Why? Because I'd have ignored her. She said, this guy doesn't pay any attention to me. I can't build a relationship like this. Well, how do we expect to do that with God if we ignore Him and we don't give Him dedicated time? This thing just keeps messing up here. Man. So a praying person will be a serving person. People that don't serve God typically don't pray. If you're serving God, then you're realizing your need for Him and you're constantly seeking Him and constantly asking Him to help you. God, I need you. Lord, I need you as I do this. God, you got to be with me. We need to do that. And we need to not serve God in the flesh, which is so often what many people do. They substitute a walk with God and the power of God for what they can do in their flesh. That's the other side of it. Instead of not praying at all, not serving God at all, now what they're doing is they do it all in their flesh and they're still not seeking God and they're just trying to build it up as best they can. And that doesn't work either. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh will fail us. Our flesh will lead us astray. Our flesh won't follow God. When God's saying, hey, do this, our flesh says, no, that's hard. And we might serve Him some in the flesh, but that's not what God desires. That's not what God wants. Even saved people serve God in the flesh. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. Philippians 3:3, Paul said, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." He said, "I don't want to serve God in the flesh." You think Paul could have gone and gotten stoned there in Lystra, wherever it was, I forget, Derby, that area right there, I forget the other name of the place, which one of those cities, I forget which one it was. You think he could have gone and gotten stoned there, left for dead, and gotten up and walked right back into the city if he was in the power of the flesh? Those people just tried to kill him. And he gets up and walks back in that city. He travels the next day, I don't know how many miles, 30 or something miles, to the next town and preaches the gospel again after he was left for dead the day before. Think he could do that in the power of the flesh? No. That's walking in the Spirit of God. So we can avoid this flesh, going in the flesh, by having a real prayer life. Real prayer life. That's what we need. That's what's the greatest need of the hour, is that we have a real prayer life, a real walk with God. Not a pretend, not a facade we put up for other people, but a real walk with God. And our service to God should be wholeheartedly. Wholehearted. It says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son." He said, "I serve with my spirit." All of me, everything I've got, I'm serving God with that. It should be from our whole heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. With my whole heart I've sought God." I don't think we can all say that. With my whole heart I've sought God. If we can look back on the last 7 days and say, "With my whole heart I've sought God," then that would mean every one of those 7 days that we were in this book. Every one of those 7 days we were spending time in prayer. Can we say that? See, we need to be like the psalmist and say, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee." And then he says at the end of that verse, "Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." Hey, we need help. Amen, we need help. Lord, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Because it's easy for us to do. It's easy to say, "I missed my Bible reading today. I missed my walk with You today, God. We had an appointment, but I missed it." It's easy to do. So how is it that we're to pray? Well, we're to pray persistently. The Bible says, "Without ceasing always." He goes on in verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." So we're to pray persistently, without ceasing and always. It was the pattern of Paul's walk with God, that he was always in prayer. Ephesians 1:16, he's saying, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Philippians 1:4, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." I mean, this was the pattern of his life, is that he would pray. So why do we pray? Because it works. Prayer works. I hope that you've experienced answered prayer. I hope you've experienced answered prayer. If you've not, let me say, ye have not because ye ask not. That's the only reason why you've not experienced answered prayer, is because ye ask not. And I challenge you to start asking God for some things. And be specific. We'll get into that here. We pray because it works. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Second Corinthians 1:8. So here's Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life." He said, things got so bad, we wanted to die. We despaired even of life. They were that bad. Verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves." Hey, here's the faith coming in. Faith stepping in right here. "That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Get this, "who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." What are they doing? His prayer works. God delivered them in the past, and that's what Paul looked back to. He delivered us, and we trust He's going to do it again. See, when you've seen God answer prayer, you'll be able to say, "I believe He's going to do it again for me." because He did it in the past. Prayer works. That's why we pray. Jesus taught us the importance of persistence in prayer. You see, we saw right there, Paul said that I pray without ceasing and continually, or always. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Jesus also taught the importance of persistence in prayer. We can consider the parable of the woman and the judge in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. It says there, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So He's trying to teach them, hey, you need to keep praying. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit on prayer. Even when it doesn't seem like the answer's coming, keep praying. And He tells them this parable. There was a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto Him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And He would not for a while, but afterward He said within Himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. See that? Her continual coming she wearieth me. What did He do? She kept coming. It was her persistence in prayer. And Jesus was teaching that men ought always to pray and not to faint. See, the prayer got answered because He's teaching us a lesson here that just keep going. Keep going. Keep going to God. Keep seeking God. This thing is not going to last long. I'm about to break this thing here. All right. See, a piece of paper does not do this. All right, pray for me. All right, also let's look at the story about the friend who needed bread in Luke 11, verse 5. So Jesus is teaching persistence in prayer to continually pray. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Why? Because he keeps coming. The next verse says, hey, I say unto you, ask and ye shall, and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What's he saying? Persistence. Persistence. Just keep going after it. Jesus taught that principle. We must be persistent in prayer because there are many obstacles as we seek to start praying. Okay? Prayer is spiritual warfare. It is battle. We are doing battle. Really getting the army ready, if you want, before we go out. But it is spiritual warfare, and there's going to be many obstacles. Our flesh is going to fight against us in prayer, and the devil's going to fight against us in prayer. Any of you ever got down to pray before and you fell asleep? Okay, that's our flesh. I've done that. I tell you, I don't pray. I used to pray. I'd like kneel down or something, or even lay down and pray. I stopped doing that because I kept falling asleep. So I'm not praying. I'm not. That time's ineffective. So I had to start doing something else. So now I'll walk and pray. Or I'll sit down. I'll stand up. I'll do something. But I won't just stay stationary. If I do sit down, I'll stand up for a bit. Take a few steps. Come back. Sit down. But I won't just stay stationary because it doesn't work for me. I'll fall asleep. See, our flesh is going to fight us. The devil is going to fight us. We're in spiritual warfare. To be persistent in prayer, we must remember God's many promises about prayer. It'll help you. When you're getting discouraged, when you're thinking, why am I even doing this? Remember these promises. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We just read that one in Luke. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. That'll encourage you to keep going. Hey, he says, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. Whatsoever. Believing ye shall receive. My family's been claiming that one for a certain request we have, an unspoken, but it's encouraging us. John 16:23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. So remember God's many promises about prayer so we could be persistent in prayer. Listen to this too. Paul made mention of things before God. This helped me coming across this. He says in verse 9, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He said, I make mention of you. This helped me when I came across this truth. I don't know how many times I've read Romans 1:9 and I never found this until maybe about a little over, maybe 2 years ago. He says, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul didn't necessarily pray a long time about every request. He just mentioned it. That's what he said, I make mention of you. Maybe he listed them off by name, some of the believers in Rome. Maybe he just said, in a general sense, the churches in Rome. He made mention of them always in his prayers. He didn't necessarily spend the whole time praying for them. This is why a prayer list is helpful. It'll just keep you going. Just make mention of some things. You don't have to get into detail about everything. Maybe certain things that pertain to your life, but things like some of what the missionaries mentioned, just mention it. As you remember it, as you write it down, I mean, have that list, but you pray. We've got the Pope family up there and the Fox family up there to Haiti. Just mention them. Lord, help the Fox family to reach souls. Help them be safe. Provide for them financially. I mean, hurricane season comes around. Amen. Pray for them. I mean, they're facing that stuff. Their homes are made out of cement to protect from those types of things. I mean, make mention of those things. The popes, we know right now, they're having a hard time finding a building, and it is coming down to the wire for them to meet their start date that they had planned. They're probably going to have to push it back if they don't find something like this week. They're going to have to push their start date back. Make mention of them. Lord, give them a place to meet. God, they need a place. We just mention them and move on. But having that prayer list is helpful. Let me ask a question. I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot. How many of you have a prayer list? Written prayer list. I do. All right, 3-4 of us. Okay, some of you can keep it in your head. I cannot. I can't do that. Because I'll forget everything. I'll remember like 3 things and I'm like, oh, okay, that's it. I can't do that. I have to have a prayer list. I encourage you, if you don't have one, get a prayer list. Sit down and think of some things and write those things down. I mean, prioritize your life. What are the big major things in your life? For me personally, it's the fact that I'm a child of God should be the first thing on all of our lists. So how is my walk with God? That's one of the major things I should pray about. My walk with God, the fact that I'm a child of God. Secondly, the next thing on my list is the fact that I am a husband. That's the next big thing I'm going to pray for. Me to be a good husband, I'm going to pray for my wife. Thirdly, I'm going to pray for my children. This is the order I pray for things in. It's first that I'm a child of God and my walk with God. Secondly, that I'm a husband. Thirdly, that I'm a parent. I pray for wisdom as a parent. Every day I pray for these things. God, give me wisdom as a parent. Help me be a good father. Help me to teach my children to be a good example to them and all these things, to guide them in righteousness and that they would grow up and walk with you. And I pray for those things. I pray for my children. Fourthly, I pray for the fact that I'm a preacher and a pastor. And that's the order I pray for them in. And I will say also that's the order of importance in my life. It's first my walk with God. God should be first in all of our lives. And then my wife. This will throw people for a loop. And then my children. If my relationship with her is right, then my relationship with my kids will be right, or it'll be in the right order. If that's not right, they're not going to respect authority. They're not going to see marriage as God sees it. Two flesh becoming one. That's the importance of it. My children are next. And then after that, the fact that I'm a preacher and a pastor. And that's the 4 big hunks in my life that I pray for. And that pastor and preacher, that includes praying for this church and all the responsibilities that I have here, the people that are in this church. And then there's some other requests below that of some friends and whatnot that I have. I did it again. But this is how we should pray. Sorry, I got to find my spot again. It keeps like resetting it to the top. So Paul had a list. Well, I don't know if he had a list, but it will help us to have a list to make mention of these things. Paul also sees prayer as something very personal. He says, my prayers. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Our prayer life should be personal. Why? Because we're talking with God, with our Savior, with our Creator, with our Father, with our friend. It should be personal. We need to stop looking at prayer as a chore and begin to see it as a chance to walk and spend time with our Heavenly Father. I've looked at prayer as a chore before. I'm like, man, I got to pray now. I've looked at it like that. We shouldn't have that attitude. We should look at it as something like, no, I get to spend time with my friend. You might say, how could you look at prayer like it's a chore? It should be something blessing. You start doing it every day. And tell me, it's hard for it not to become a chore. But we need to get that out of our mind and say, no, I get to spend time with my Heavenly Father. That's what it is. Paul made definite requests as he prayed. He says his prayers were personal. He says, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now verse 10, he says, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Making request. Paul made definite, specific requests. If our prayer is not specific, we cannot know if it is answered. Our prayer's got to be specific enough so we know when the answer comes. Or we don't know. Did God answer that prayer or not? I don't know. I mean, then people just blow off, oh, that's just chance. Not when I prayed specifically for it, it's not chance. I asked God for it, my Heavenly Father gave it to me. And then you can praise Him because you prayed specifically. It's hard to praise God if you don't know if He's answered or not. We have to train ourselves away from praying generically. Train ourselves away from praying generically. God bless my family. Of course. How? How? What does your family need? What's your family struggling with right now? Where does your family need help? Pray specifically. Stop praying generically. Because then we don't ever know if the answer comes. Lord, help me be a good father, but how? Lord, help me control my anger. I mean, I don't get into all the specifics I pray about for myself, but I mean, those are the types of things. Lord, help me control my anger. Lord, help me be diligent with my time. Lord, help me show love to my children. Help me tell my children I love them today. Help me tell my wife I love her today. Pray specifically if you're having a hard time with something. Lord, help me stop gossiping. Hey, specific, not just generic. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Well, how? Pray specifically so it can be answered, so you know the answer came. Train yourself away from praying generically. I believe we pray generically because our walk with God is many times superficial. We just put up a facade. So it's just generic. You get down to business and start really walking with God, you'll be specific in your prayer. You start really serving God, as we looked at earlier, that a praying person will be a serving person. You start really serving God, you're going to see your need for God real quick, and you'll start asking Him, God, you've got to help me. You start sharing the gospel with other people, you're going to realize real fast how much you need His help. Because you're going to say, I don't know what to even... I mean, I've had people talking to me before, asking me a question or telling me something that's going on in their life. And while they're talking to me, I'm at their door witnessing to them. And they're telling me something that's going on in their life. And my prayer in my head is, God, I don't know how to help this person. Help me. Lord, I need some wisdom right now. God, help me. Because I don't know what to say. You're going to find out real quick how much you need God when you start serving Him. We pray generically because our walk with God is superficial. So how do we begin praying regularly and specifically? First, have a definite time. Have a definite time. Set an appointment and keep it. But definite time. If you don't do that, you won't pray. If you won't schedule it, it's not going to get done. Okay? I have to put things on my calendar on my phone, or I will forget them. I'll double book things. If I don't do it, I have to schedule it. And even then, sometimes I'll still check with my wife. Do we have anything going on right here? Just to make sure. But I have to schedule things or I won't do them. I won't remember. So I put it in here. I'll set myself a reminder. And it'll remind me sometimes a week before and then the day before and then an hour before. I mean, because that's how I am, because I'll forget that fast. So I have to set myself reminders. Set an appointment with God every day. What time am I going to walk with God? When am I going to do it? I mean, you got to wake up earlier, but set an appointment with God. If you don't purpose to walk with God, you won't. You won't. In that appointment, as you walk with God, having that definite time, it should be a time of prayer and a time of reading your Bible. So it's going to need to be probably at the very least 30 minutes to an hour. The very least 30 minutes if you're going to read and pray. The very least 30 minutes to an hour. So have a definite time. Secondly, write a list with only specific requests. Have that list. Keep it in your Bible. Keep it on your phone. I mean, before I had a phone that did all this, I had a 3x5 card with me that I put my prayer requests on. And that's how I did it. And that still works. If you prefer that, do that. I mean, it works just the same. But have that list. So as we pray specifically, what we want to do is we don't want to make demands, but we want to leave the details to God. It says they're making requests, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey. He didn't say, God, here's how I'm going to have this prosperous journey. You're going to do this, 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 and this for me to have a prosperous journey. No, we pray specifically. He asked God, give me a prosperous journey, but he didn't tell God how to do it. You see what I'm saying? He was praying specifically for a prosperous journey to get from where he was at to the church in Rome. He wanted to be with them. But he said, making request, if by any means, not length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He said, I want it to be prosperous when I get there. But he didn't say how it needs to be prosperous. He prayed specifically that he would get to Rome and that it would be prosperous. But he didn't tell God how. So we don't make demands of God. We leave the details up to him. God will answer our prayers as he deems fit. But if we pray specifically, when Paul arrived in Rome, he could say, God got me here. And that was an answered prayer. Many times as we pray, the answer does not come in the way which we think it will. Amen. I can testify to that one. I got it all figured out. God, this is perfect. Do it like this. It doesn't always work out like that. It doesn't always happen how we want it to. We might pray to be able to make a trip somewhere, thinking the Lord's going to give us the money for the trip in some certain way, but He works it out some other way. I mean, I'm telling you, we don't know, and it's just miraculous and awesome when God does answer in a way we didn't expect. Let me say at the end of all this, what Paul also did is Paul submitted to God's will. He said in verse 10, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. By the will of God. He submitted to God's will. We can't demand things of God, we're asking things of God. Our prayer requests must be according to God's will. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We ask according to God's will. That's what Paul was doing. He said, by the will of God to come unto you. He wanted God's will. He was submissive to God's will. Are you submissive to God's will? Are you wanting what God wants for you? Or are you pushing your own agenda and what you want to do? That's easy to do. And that's easy to say, oh, this is what God wants. It's easy to do. And it's easy to say, this is what God wants. Why? Because our flesh is weak, and our flesh will say one thing, and this is what we want, and we're not truly seeking God. We superficially seek God, and we say, oh, I asked God about it. But it's not really what God wanted, and we're not truly seeking God. We're not submissive to His will. We've already made up our mind. We've decided this is how it's going to be, and we go and do that. And that's a dangerous place to be, because that's a quick way to get yourself out of God's will. So make certain that you are submissive to God's will and all that He's leading you to do. Paul was. He says, according to God's will, by the will of God to come unto you. That's what he wanted. This is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. You're praying according to His will. We throw that little tagline on at the end of so many prayers. Oh, in Jesus' name. What does that mean? It should mean that we're praying according to God's will. This is what Jesus would ask for if He were here. We're asking for those things that Jesus would approve of. Look at it like this. It's like giving someone your checkbook and telling them to purchase something for you. What they're doing is they're making a purchase in your name, but they must only purchase that which you would approve. Okay, we're praying in Jesus' name. We want to pray according to His will. God, what do you want? Not, God, here's what I want. God, what do you want? What should I do? Lord, show me, direct me. Which way do I need to go? What decision do I need to make? And we're listening for Him, His voice, His leading. Would thankfulness describe you, or are you ungrateful? See, Paul said, pattern of prayer, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He was thankful. He's thankful for the other believers. So are you thankful or ungrateful? Are you serving God with your whole spirit? Have you wholly yielded yourself to God? Submitted yourself to Him? Our prayer life starts in our heart and extends to our service for God. Have you submitted your whole spirit to God to do His will, what He wants? Maybe you could work on being more persistent in your prayers. Or maybe you need to work on being more specific. See, these are things we have to teach ourselves. Sometimes we've gotten into bad habits of prayer We need to train ourselves to get out of them. So if there's some little area you need to work on, then praise God, just start working on it. I mean, I've had to work on, in the past, on being more specific. I need to be more specific in my prayers. And being more persistent on both of those things I've had to work on. And just keep praying for it, keep praying for it, keep praying for it, keep praying for it. I mean, just keep praying. We can all improve our prayer life, every one of us. What can you do to get closer to God through prayer? Maybe you need a specific time. Start scheduling that time every day. This is when I'm going to do it and nothing's going to interfere with it. If I have to wake up earlier, I'll do it then. Take the necessary steps that God's leading you to take so you can build that relationship with Him, so you can be submitted to His will, so you can know what He wants you to do. You have to determine to put the time in to walk with God. Will you? Will you put the time in?